All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the Weekend Edition. I am chatting and closing out the first hour with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Chris, all last segment I dedicated with Mark Chandler to the data that we saw, the GDP number, as well as some of the internals and what to look forward to. What I want to first start talking to you about is the interest rate picture in the U.S. It was kind of curious this week that with a good GDP number and with markets continuing to move higher and break to all-time highs in a number of those markets, we saw interest rates move down a little bit. The 10-year closed the week at right around 2.5%, but quite frankly, you would, or I thought you could expect kind of a different reaction from the bond market and yields. Start us off here. What are your thoughts?
Well, it is somewhat surprising, Corey. You've got the stock market, at least the S&P and the NASDAQ, closing at a new high on Friday. You had the GDP number, which, as you explained with Mark, when you dig down into the number, it wasn't as bullish as the headline, which was a surprise, suggested. But nevertheless, those two things should have seen yields move higher. And instead, they went the other direction, quite surprisingly. And as you and I discussed in the middle of the week, a lot of that is due to the foreign buying that has come in. I mean, if you're a foreign money manager and you have zero interest rates on 10-year German IOUs and 2.5% on 10-year U.S. IOUs and in a much stronger currency, it doesn't take a genius to figure out which way you should go. And so that's a part of the reason why yields went down, because you got a firm bid for treasuries. The dollar index, though it came off a little bit on Friday, nevertheless hit its highest weekly close in about 2 years and is not going to slow down going forward. The trend is still now unmistakably higher. And to me, that is the biggest thing that the stock market is whistling past. You can talk about Intel and ExxonMobil and 3M this week, three key companies, all of which disappointed. Intel was down almost 10% on Friday, and that didn't keep the NASDAQ from making a new high. So ever more, even though I'm not saying we should have a crash in the stock market by any means, but ever more, Corey, it looks as though the strong dollar is being ignored, the stresses elsewhere are being ignored, and the fact, as I talk about in my current issue, of really no resolution yet on trade. And the week ending, and this shocked me yesterday, when I heard the FBI director and what he said about China, and the market rallied into the close. So they're whistling past this whole trade thing too, which may not be resolved.
Chris, doesn't this also just speak to something you and I have talked about, is that there still is just so much liquidity out in the world and it's still searching for somewhere to find? And even though we can argue that the markets aren't paying attention to the worrisome signs, money's got to land somewhere and it just keeps landing in the U.S.
It does, you know, and until something apparently more noteworthy comes along that shakes investor confidence again, the path of least resistance is, you know, seemingly this slow meld up in the stock market. Now, you've got a lot of danger signs there. Copper didn't take part in this. That's bad. Oil got hit at the end of the week, though a lot of that was jawboning from the Orange Wonder once again, trying to get OPEC to pump more oil to make up for, you know, him turning over the reins of government to the John Boltons and Mike Pompeos and American Enterprise Institute to the world again, because they want a war with Iran or Russia or somebody. So, you know, when you see key elements of the growth economy, if it was a legitimate growth economy, not participating in this, then it increases the argument that chasing momentum in the stock market indices is nothing more than that, and that, you know, the substance is just not going to be there in the end to justify these rallies and to maintain them going forward.
Okay. Chris, I do also want to get your quick comment on that GDP number. And we did talk about it. Some of the internals were a bit more mixed, but you have to admit, 3.2% GDP growth when just a couple months ago, people were talking about sub 1% GDP growth. That's a pretty big miss or a pretty big change from where we started that quarter.
Well, it is. But first of all, the stock market gains in the first quarter themselves augment that number because that is an element, right or wrong, in GDP. So, you know, it became a self-fulfilling prophecy for those that wanted to be more bullish and have higher expectations for first quarter growth. They kind of made it happen by pushing the stock market higher, number one. Number two, and you and I have talked about this before, and this has been parsed over a lot, when you look at a lot of the inventory and trade activity, you had a combination of things that front-loaded a lot more business as 2018 ended and as 2019 began that aren't likely to be repeated. I mean, in some areas, and this is one of the reasons Intel got hit, and look, people should just listen to what Intel said to look at what the whole global trade picture is, Corey. Not saying that we're going into a full-fledged crash or full-fledged global depression or anything like that, but the global economy is bogging down under a lot of debt, a lot of different cross currents, a lot of conflicting priorities on trade. And so, you know, the fact that you were able to get a good number in the first quarter, that's wonderful. Everybody wants to see that. I don't think anybody's out there actually cheering and hoping that we have a recession, but we just all have to look at reality. We have to all look at the facts. And I think the facts are, as a number of these companies, UPS again, same thing. You know, the global economy's growth has slowed markedly. South Korea this week came out with its worst economic numbers since the financial crisis a decade ago. And they're supposed to be one of the most dynamic economies in Asia. So, you know, you add all of these things together, and should we see the stock market go back to where it was at Christmas Eve? No. But should we be up where we're at right now? I think the answer to that is no, likewise.
Now, Chris, a lot of what people are using that GDP number and the markets, some of them at least reaching those all-time highs, are now looking ahead to that Fed meeting next week. Do you think we see any surprises, any shocks out of the Fed, or are they going to try to make this a non-event?
I think by and large they want to make it a non-event, Corey. They, a lot of people, and this is the reason why yields dripped a little bit lower. Gold, despite the highest weekly close for the dollar in 2 years, gold ended the week on a strong note. You know, people are looking at what the Fed is likely to do going forward if their massaged inflation numbers keep going, what they believe at least is in the wrong direction. I talked about this a bit in my last newsletter, some of the stuff that the Fed is doing at its really dopey so-called listening tour that it started recently under the auspices of Vice Chairman Clarida. But I won't put it past them, notwithstanding the bounce in oil that we've seen in the recent past, that if the PCE number, which is what a lot of the Fed watchers seized on in the GDP report, if that continues to be well below 2%, they'll cut rates no matter what's going on in the financial markets just to try and goose inflation higher. This is an emerging theme with all of the central banks, in some cases a re-emerging theme, that they're going to start to push even harder on the accelerator to try and get inflation and monetary velocity both going, you know, something better, than the flat lines or near flat lines that they're on right now. And really, I think this is part of what, to be fair, the stock market is smelling also, that, you know, the Fed a year ago, and really less than a year ago, as recently as October, when Chairman Powell spooked the markets, he was worried about financial imbalances and overly speculative markets, whether it was in leveraged loans or junk bonds or whatnot. He has totally abandoned any of those fears, by all appearances. And it won't matter if the market is still going up despite a slowing economy. If they don't see their inflation numbers pick up, the Fed will push even harder in the hopes that even more acceleration in asset bubbles and more money printing will finally give them the inflation traction that they want. So we'll see. I mean, this all kind of goes back to what you and I know Doc has talked about this from time to time. You know, we've speculated might be the emerging stagflation light kind of environment where growth doesn't really accelerate a lot, but the Fed keeps money printing going like gangbusters and keeps interest rates fairly low, if not starts, cutting them anew. And, in that environment, most asset classes are still going to do well. It depends, it's which ones do you want to choose? Which ones are valued better than others? And that's still an evolving story.
It is. And a couple of things to consider is that in some of those internals, that core PCE came in softer at 1.3%, again, below the Fed's target of 2%, plus rate cut expectations now up to 50% for the September meeting. Kind of interesting. Let's finish off with the precious metals. You have touched on them, but a very good finish on Friday on the back of that good data and still on the back of U.S. markets getting a buy throughout the day. The stocks, GDX and GDXJ, were up just over 2% and over 3% for GDXJ. Gold was up. Still, we're not seeing any breakouts, but it did save the precious metals markets from a further breakdown. Wrap us up with this sector.
Well, that last thing you said is the takeaway, I think, for right now, Corey. Look, I went bullish as a sector play on gold last fall when the Fed started to signal it was changing course. That was the first time in quite a few years that I've been bullish on gold generally. I've got several individual companies, three of which, even though the whole sector is still in the dumps, have recently hit new 52-week highs, I'm happy to say. So, stock selection is important. But look, when the central banks are all telling you one way or the other that they're all going back to inflate or die mode, despite the fact that you've got the dollar at a two-year high, gold is still going to get some kind of a bid. Of course, it's doing much better in other currencies than it is in the U.S. dollar. If you're a European investor and you own gold, you love it. If you're in Australia, you're really tickled pink if you own gold, because in recent past, gold hit an all-time high in terms of Australian dollars. So, the long-term prognosis, is solid because the central banks are all going to be in inflate or die mode. And the fact that you saw the dollar make a new two-year high this week and gold didn't break below really its most important technical level at this point, which is the 1260 an ounce or so area, and actually, as I said Friday, rallied pretty nicely, even with the dollar index still significantly above now its prior peak, it shows you that there's still some underlying strength. And so, my advice to people, and I've got a whole section in my current issue handicapping the precious metals, which stocks I like and which kinds of stocks I like, what attributes you need to look for right now. This is a great time to be loading up a little bit more.
All right, Chris, we're going to wrap it up there. I appreciate all the time that you spend with me and on our website throughout the week. Everyone, if you want more information on Chris's newsletter, feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com, or follow the links that I post to his website. In the meantime, everyone, please keep in touch. I love hearing from all of you. And please listen to those company updates, a number of them that I did this week, trying to introduce some of the new companies that have been introduced to me that I think might have some legs in this even sideways market. Chris, again, thank you for your time this weekend. Have a great weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.